In my early teen years, my dad, who was at that time pastor of the Thermite United Methodist Church, took our family and a group of people from the church to visit the newly constructed Mormon temple in Kensington, Maryland, which was open to the public before it would be formally dedicated and then closed up to anybody who was not formally a part of the Mormon church. And Dad was careful to instruct us that while the teachings of the Mormon church were not compatible with our own beliefs, it was nonetheless a worthwhile experience to witness the inside of this spectacular temple before it was closed to the public. And as we walked through the temple, beholding the beautiful, majestic architecture, the beautiful stained glass windows at the corner edifices of this temple, and the incalculable adornments of the temple, I was aware, even at this young age, of how such expense, how such grandeur had been afforded to a temple of a misguided faith. A temple that would not see the presence of the true God. And yet, even in the heterodoxy of Mormonism, there clearly existed the belief and the affirmation that the life of God was centered on worship in the temple. This, of course, is something that is adopted from the Jewish faith, which was grounded in a whole way of life that revolved around the temple and its sacrificial system, its holy feasts, its liturgical life, and the understanding of it being the place of God's presence, the place where God dwelt in the temple. And today, on this feast of the presentation of our Lord in the temple and the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we celebrate the historical event of Jesus being brought into the temple. But in this event, we also acknowledge and celebrate a very pivotal moment in which God Himself, in the divine person of Jesus Christ, enters the temple, thereby fulfilling and bringing to fruition all that the Jewish temple worship had longed for, had pointed towards. Into the temple. Into the temple that the Messiah came. Into the temple, that place built and adorned for the holy presence of Yahweh, was graced by the coming of the divine child, whom in his divinity the whole world could not contain. And it was righteous Simeon who had waited so long for this moment. You see, Saint Simeon has an interesting life. We know from church history and from some extra-biblical texts that Saint Simeon was one of the 70 elders who were chosen to go to Alexandria to translate the Hebrew scriptures into Greek, into what we now know as the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. But during his work of translation, Simeon read the words from Isaiah 7, verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive in the womb and shall bring forth a son." And it, through his own intellectualism, through his own academic rigor, he thought that the word virgin was inaccurate. And he wanted to correct the text to read that word as simply woman or young woman. But at that moment, an angel appeared to him and held back his hand, saying, "You shall see these words fulfilled. You shall not die until you behold Christ the Lord, born of a pure and spotless virgin." Do you realize that this event occurred, the translation of the Septuagint occurred some 3 centuries before the coming of Christ? And in fact, Saint Simeon, at the appearing of Christ was some 360 years old. We're talking about an aged man, an age which was not reached in those days. Saint Simeon was also given the title of God Receiver. So for these many, many centuries, for these countless decades, righteous Simeon, just Simeon, waited in the temple according to the promise given to him by this angel. And there he waited for the Lord to come. And then on that day, the day that we celebrate today, into the temple and into the arms of this ancient and aged saint, the Son of God was received. And it was at that moment that Saint Simeon proclaimed that great hymn of the church, the Nunc Dimittis, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Into the temple our Lord came. And at this moment, there was an immediate transformation of the temple as a place of Jewish worship into a place of Christian reality. Something at the very heart of our Christian faith. This past Wednesday night at family night, we began a study of the Western Rite. And one of the things I talked about in laying out the liturgical foundation of this is the fact that the Paschal event of the Passover brought the Jewish people through the waters of the Red Sea so that they might head into the Promised Land. And how in Christ we see the reversal of this. From the waters of Christian baptism, we are brought into the true Paschal event, into Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us, and into the fullness of the Eucharistic life of the church, where we feast upon the Paschal Lamb who was slain for us. It is the temple life transformed. It is the temple which forms that pivot point of this transformation from a Jewish worship which anticipated Christ to the Eucharistic life in Christ, in us going out and proclaiming the gospel to the world. For you see, the temple, the Jewish temple, had been transformed from a temple of stone into the living stones of the church. You and me, with Christ as the cornerstone, as the apostles, as the foundational stones. Through our baptism and chrismation, we, like Saint Simeon, become God receivers. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we come to the temple of God, the place of God's dwelling. Today, much of our American culture will bow down at the idol of sports and watching the Super Bowl. And there's much glory given in the team that will receive that Lombardi trophy, that will win the world championship of the National Football League. But as glorious as that might be in receiving that Lombardi trophy for the winners of today's game and all previous other Super Bowls, it is a shallow, fleeting, passing thing in comparison to receiving God Himself. Forget receiving a Lombardi trophy. The gospel declares something eternally greater in receiving our Lord, receiving Him into the temple of our very being, into the temple of our bodies and soul. God has come and has made for Himself a place of His dwelling. And yet we also acknowledge that in Christ coming into the temple, in being confronted with the holiness of God, we also acknowledge the place of judgment. The reality that we are unrefined. And so we hear in the prophet Malachi and talking about God coming to the temple, that this work is also a work of refinement, of purification, of making us sanctified and holy. And so we come to this time of year liturgically ahead of pre-Lent, ahead of the Lenten season, and preparing our hearts and acknowledging that we have fallen short of the glory, of the holiness of God. But God has called us to that place of purification, that place of transfiguration, as we have been called to be the living stones, as Christ has entered the temple. Today we also commemorate the great apostolic father, Saint Ignatius of Antioch, who holds a very special place within our own patriarchate, as Saint Ignatius was consecrated by Saint Peter himself as the third bishop of Antioch of Syria. Tradition holds that Saint Ignatius was one of the children that Jesus picked up and blessed. He was a good friend of Saint Polycarp. And when the Romans came and arrested him in the cathedral of Antioch and was placed on a ship and headed to Rome, where he would face his martyrdom, where he would literally be fed to the lions in the Roman Colosseum, Ignatius knew that this is where God had led him, that he was ordained to suffer a life of martyrdom, of sacrifice. And it would be his life, his laying down of his life, that would help to be the seeds of the church. He wrote in his letter, one of his letters in route to Rome, he said, "I'm writing to all the churches, and I enjoin all that I am dying willingly for God's sake. If only you do not prevent it, I beg you, do not do me an untimely kindness. Allow me to be eaten by the beasts, which are my way of reaching to God. I am God's wheat, and I am to be ground by the teeth of wild beasts, so that I may become the pure bread of Christ." Ignatius understood the holy thing that was about to happen in his own sacrifice, that he is the temple of God, was himself to become a holy sacrifice unto our Lord. Saint Ignatius was also the first of the church fathers to use the word Catholic, from the Greek Catholikos, which roughly means universal. And he said this: "Wherever the bishop appears, there let the people be, as wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church." Where the bishop is, where the bishop's representative, the priest. You see, Christ has come into the temple. And in building the temple, the temple of God, the living faith, the living stones, you and me, he has called us to the visible church, to be the ark of salvation for the world. But it is there that we also receive the sacrifice, so that we ourselves, like Saint Ignatius, can be the sacrifice. Listen to what he says about the Eucharist. Saint Ignatius wrote, "Take note of those who hold heterodox opinions on the grace of Jesus Christ, which has come to us, and see how contrary their opinions are to the mind of God. They abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they do not confess that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Savior Jesus Christ, flesh which suffered for our sins, and which that Father in his goodness raised up again. They who deny the gift of God are perishing in their disputes." Even today, we have those within the Christian faith who deny this reality. But we have been called to the church because Christ has entered the temple. And into the temple he's come within our own bodies and souls, that even as we partake of this heavenly food, the broken body, the shed blood of our Lord. We are being built up into a temple of God which shall not perish. We are called to a life of sacrifice, even as we have received the sacrifice of our Lord. Let us give thanks. Let us give thanks for this glorious day, the coming of our Lord into the temple. For may the Son himself continue to reside, continue to come into the temple of our souls, that we may take the glory and salvation of God to all the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.